Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Perhaps you noticed that the service folder today features a color reproduction of a painting of the Annunciation. I'd like to begin this morning by looking at that. If you look for fine art pictures of the Annunciation, you'll discover that many, if not most of them, look a lot like this, because this particular painting follows the conventions developed in the Middle Ages for depicting this scene. And so there's a lot that we could say about this painting this morning. We're not going to say most of that. For the sake of this message, I want to focus on one, perhaps minor detail. Notice the book perched on the edge of Mary's lap. It seems precarious given the material of her dress and the angle of the book. Yet there the book sits. And I know it's nitpicky, but that bothers me. Why, you ask, does that bother you? It bothers me because she's just been greeted by an angel. And apparently, having been spoken to by this heavenly being who appeared all of a sudden out of nowhere, Mary calmly and delicately placed this book she'd been reading on the edge of her lap. And only then did she acknowledge the celestial intruder. It just doesn't seem to do justice to the text. She doesn't seem greatly troubled. She doesn't seem to need Gabriel's assurance, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." She doesn't seem to recognize that her world will be turned upside down by the angel's words. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Not only is Mary's world changed forever by those words, God's interruption changes everything. The child promised to Mary is the entirety of God's plan to save human beings who had rebelled against their God, to save them from their sinful separation from their Creator. This child would grow to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, as Simeon prophesied. This child would teach and heal, and suffer and die and rise victorious from the tomb. And this, God's great interruption, overturned humanity's old sinful securities. God's interruption put an end to religious business as usual. Now, the only question that matters for every single person is, who is Jesus? God's interruption changes everything, for each one of us, too. Or at least it should. The fact that it doesn't always work that way was brought home to me years ago by my daughter, Emily. She was about 4 years old at the time, and she's 20 now. But when she was about four, she was strapped into her car seat in the back of the car one Wednesday evening during Advent. We were on our way home from church. And suddenly, from her car seat, Emily announced, "I'm afraid of angels. I'm afraid of angels." Her mother turned to the back and asked, "Why are you afraid of angels?" And Emily answered, "I'm afraid they'll talk to me." And we immediately realized that all of the Sunday school lessons in Advent had to do with precisely that, angels talking to people, to Zechariah and to Mary. Well, I thought about that, "I'm afraid angels will talk to me," And it occurred to me that Emily was exactly right. We should probably be more afraid that angels will talk to us. You see, we constantly hear God speaking to us, and yet the totality of God's claim on our lives and the radical nature of our new being in Christ seem to elude us. There are times, in fact, when rather than being afraid or even surprised by what God is doing, we simply ignore it because it seems difficult or inconvenient or, dare I say, irrelevant. We would prefer to keep God confined to certain aspects of our lives, to keep him out of areas and attitudes that we would rather control. Yes, I know we are to love as Christ loved, but that person, really? It's as if the book remains perched on our lap as we resist God's interruption of grace and new life. But there's another way to look at that book on Mary's lap. We could ask, what's in the book? We don't know, of course, but I like to think that it's part of the Old Testament, open to one of God's promises to send a Savior. If we think about it that way, the book can remind us that absolutely everything depends on God and on his faithfulness. God is at work. Even Mary's response to the angel, "I am the servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word," demonstrates this. God is at work. God is still at work. God has interrupted our lives too. And because he chose us and called us his children, we are exactly that, his. God continues his saving work in us, interrupting our lives to fulfill his promises, loving and forgiving us. Omnium mysterium, as the choir sang to begin our worship. Great mystery indeed. Amen.